أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم من ليلنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال أحد الظالمين. صلاة محمد. We are talking about imamat from the Holy Quran, and yesterday we looked at the verses from the Holy Quran that prove that even when the Holy Prophet wanted somebody to depute him, to represent him, during his lifetime he chose none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. And now, we are a community that is proud to be the followers of Imam Ali al-Islam, and we perhaps know more about Imam Ali al-Islam than any other Imam, about his status, about his life, about his miracles, about his comings and goings, more than any other Imam. And the Holy Prophet says, من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة الجاهلية. Somebody who dies without recognizing or understanding the true status of the Imam of his time dies the death of any ground person. So whilst it is important for us to know our first Imam, because we want to know, we want to understand who was the true successor of the Holy Prophet, because we call ourselves the Shiite Najis. At the same time, whilst we are supposed to believe in all the Imams, the second, the third, the fourth, up to the 12th, but the 12th Imam is Imam-e-Zamana, Imam of our time, and we are supposed to know about him, where he is, what he is doing, how he is guiding us, how I can access to him, all these we are supposed to know as much, if not more, than we know about Imam Ali al-Islam. So, question number one, where in the Quran do you find any mention about the 12th Imam? See, people who want to ask you this question, they will ask you this. And forget answering people, we have to know. our aqidah, our belief, and our understanding of our imam has to be so strong. We have to find the answers in the Quran and know that yes, there is question one. How to establish that continuity, that from the first imam to the second imam, from the second imam to the third imam, and that from the time the Prophet has died, at every time there will be present an imam, a successor of the Holy Prophet. The Quran has to prove it. That continuity proven. Now we want to prove that, okay, continuity has been proven, therefore imam is existing. Now what about his reappearance? When he will reappear, we believe, we have been told that there is going to exist, or he is going to establish a kingdom of peace and justice. Is that mentioned in the Quran? And yes, everything is there in the Quran. From the Quran, from the tafsir of the Quran, from the ahadith, if we collect everything together, we have the whole answer in front of us. First of all, the continuity. The continuity is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. We have done this. That, oh you, Allah is addressing the Holy Prophet, that you, oh Muhammad, are somebody who has been entrusted with the task of warning, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. Every people will have their own guide. So there is no doubt that we are a qawm. That today's time, we are the qawm. And when I say we are the qawm according to Quran, we cannot classify ourselves as the qawm of the Khojas or the Iranis or the... We are a qawm as an ummah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are a qawm. And for us, there has to be a guide. Or for example, when we talked about the verse that says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That fear Allah and be with the truthful. Not be amongst the truthful, or be of the truthful, or be truthful. No. مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That means be with the truthful. Where are these truthful? And when you look at ahadith, you find that the truthful have to exist for us to be with them. And they are the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And it proves that one member of the successors of the Holy Prophet, of the 12 Imams, has to be present at all times. And we believe it is our 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Mind you, in ahadith, whilst we have talked about the hadith that is there in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, which mentions the number 12, that there will be 12 successors after me. And if you recall, we did talk about this, where there are Sunni scholars who have asked for help, that how do we reconcile this 12? Every time we try to reconcile, it doesn't come. There were 4 Khulafa al-Rashidin, there were 14 rulers from Bani Umayyah, and there were 37 rulers of Banu Abbas. How do we get to this number 12? Nobody knows. Well, we, the Itna'ashris, have the answer. These are the 12. But when you come to naming the 12, that who are the 12? The first is Ali, then his son Hassan, then his brother Hussein, and then all the 9 from the progeny of Hussein alayhi salam. There is, according to Sunni narrations, only 2 ahadith recorded in their book. And I say their book, not their books, because it is in only one of their books. It is in Yanabi' al-Mawaddah, where this hadith, where all 12 names have been mentioned, narrated on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who asked the Prophet once, And once it is narrated that he was sitting when somebody came to ask the Prophet, who is your successor? And the Prophet named all the successors. So you will find this is not very widely mentioned. You will not find the names in Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim, but it is found in Yanabi al-Mawaddah. In any case, this is hadith. Now we come to that part of the Quran that has promised us there will come somebody who will establish the kingdom of God. The very concept that there will come salvation, that there will come kingdom of God, is a concept that is found in all religions. You will find it in Judaism, you will find it in Christianity, you will find it amongst the Muslims, non-Shias as well, that yes, we all agree, there will come a time towards the end of the world when there will be so much injustice and corruption spread all over the world that yes, one messenger of God, one representative of God will come and establish that kingdom of God that will be based on justice and pure justice. The Jews believe in it. The Christians believe in it. The Muslims believe in it. There is no doubt. In fact, I had somebody, a teacher of mine, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nasri, may Allah grant him a long life. He was based in London for a while. He's gone back to Iraq now after the release, after the freedom that they have recently received. He, whilst in London, was trying to write a thesis. And he went to the University of Leeds, where they have a College of Divinity. The College of Divinity in the University of Leeds is sponsored by the Christians. But he went there and he applied for a mastership, for a doctorate, a thesis. And he was invited to submit his thesis. You know how the operation works. You have to first sit with a panel and present to them what is your synopsis of the thesis. That means what is your idea? In what subject are you going to do research? And if the board approves, then they are going to fund you for a whole year or 2 years whilst you carry out a research and present a whole thesis. Sheikh Yusuf al-Nasri, who was very well versed in English and Arabic, he wrote to them and they invited him in that panel. He said, look, I have an idea. I want to talk about bringing together world's major religions. So the College of Divinity was very interested. Right. How would you do it? You know, right now there are efforts of interfaith where there are meetings of Christians and Jews getting together. So this movement was getting to be an interesting. There is also now a movement started by Iran right now, where there is an exchange, or rather discussion between civilizations. This is a movement started in Iran, where civilizations are discussed, forget religions. Now all these movements, and this sheikh comes here and says, I have a new idea. He says, our problem is when we sit to talk about religions, we look at history and past. We look at the status of Prophet Isa, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa, what he did, and he was kind, and how we share our belief in Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa. He said, no, let us change the perception. Let us look at from the future. Look at it from the future. What do the Jews predict what is going to happen? And you bring from the Torah, the Old Testament, you bring the prophecies that say what is going to happen towards the end of the world. Then you talk about the Christians and what are their prophecies in the Bible and what is going to happen. You talk about Muslims and their prophecies and predictions, what is going to happen towards the end of the world. And you find that you come up with one version of exactly what is going to happen. You know what the College of Divinity said? No, thank you. We're not interested. Why? Because it was so powerful. it was so strong that he could prove from our books that whatever you believe is exactly what we believe. Whatever the Jews believe is going to happen, whatever the Christians believe is going to happen, whatever the Muslim Sunnis believe is going to happen, and what the Shias believe is going to happen is all the same. If you want unity, don't look at the past, look at the future prophecies. So, what is it that the Quran promises? And we look at the future. We are waiting for our Imam to reappear. And how does the Quran talk that there is going to be something promised that we are all waiting for? The Quran says, وَعَدَ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ خَوْفَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمَّا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. These words sound familiar? This is from the Quran, That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It is Allah's promise to those who have brought faith and are going to do good deeds, are doing good deeds. It is Allah's promise. Number one, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That they shall be succeeded just as people before them have been succeeded by good people. So when we do good, when we try to do good, and this is very important, when we try to do good, we sometimes don't see the result of that good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising, you do whatever you want to do, you do good deeds, اعمل الصالحات. He is going to have make sure that there is a group of people after you that will take care and realize the good that you started. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. What we are doing, where did this start? When we talk of the good deeds that we are doing, you go back and find out, where does it all start? It all started with the message that was brought by the Holy Prophet, and as it spread, there is blood in preserving what has come to us. There is sacrifice of lives so that we get today what we have today. Is there not? There is. But those people who are dying there, you Karbala itself, 70 people giving their lives, you think they could ever think, well, what will come out of my life? I give up my life, what will happen? Will I change the world? They did not realize it is Allah's promise. You do good, I will protect what you want to protect. So you can see that from one man who brought that message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was that realization of the potential that Islam has during his lifetime. During his lifetime, in the 23 years of his prophethood. Forget 23 years. In the first 13 years that he was in Makkah, people were surprised. You are supporting Muhammad when he has no money, when he has no properties, when all those who are following him are so poor. What do you see in him? Yet it was Allah's promise that when Hijrah took place, when they moved to Medina, suddenly they find a whole city is believing in the Holy Prophet, is welcoming all those, not only welcoming them, is giving them what they possess. You have left behind your homes here. Share my home. You have left behind your families. Some had left behind their wives here. Come marry our sisters and daughters. But come and feel at home here. So people who supported the Prophet within 13 years saw the fruits of their patience. No, within another 5 or 7 years, before the Prophet dies, they saw the whole Makkah crumble right in front of their eyes. So when that happened to them, that was a realization of this verse. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكننهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. They are frightened, they are scared. They fled their homes, and Allah says, I am going to change this fear into peace, this fear into safety. No more fear. So when Makkah fell, you know the jubilation, the gratification that was in the people of Makkah who had stood firm with the Prophet 20 years ago. 20 years later, now they come. They are free people in Makkah. Now they are going to their own homes in Makkah. The feeling was a unique feeling. Ask the Iraqis today. 35 years they had not seen their homes. Some of them 13 years, 1991, when Saddam started killing all the Shias in Najaf and Karbala and Basra, they fled. Hundreds of thousands. Today when they go back, they see. This is a victory promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, and I say with a but, that whilst history has testimonies to the implementation of this verse, to the interpretation of this verse, there still remain Muslims somewhere in the world who continue seeing injustices going on. And for the verse to realize complete application is only when one such Qa'im Al Muhammad will come and establish that kingdom that will spread over all corners of the world, the whole globe. That is what we are waiting for. Because this is one where Allah has promised that He shall remove the fear from our hearts. When we move from one country to another, we always have that fear. And I do not need to spell it out. We all know that now things are getting from bad to worse. See, go out there in the West and see. Why? Because we are Muslims. They are going from bad to worse. We now have to prove where we get our money from. We now have to prove where we are sending our money to. We now have to put our fingerprints before we enter a country. Why? Because they want to corner Muslims. All this is happening, these injustices that are happening. We long for that day when we will receive salvation as per promise in Allah's book, as per promise by Allah. But apart from that, there is another promise. This is political. This is control. This is where human society will be governed and ruled by justice. But apart from that, there is one other promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He says in the Holy Quran, He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. that He is who sent His messenger with guidance and the correct religion. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. So that this religion, the true religion, the correct religion, will prevail over all other religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if these polytheists do not like it. So, Islam is the true religion. And Islam will prevail over all religions, will remove Judaism, will remove Christianity. It's a promise there in the Quran, huh? Not once, not twice, three times mentioned in three different places. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ لِيُظْهِرَ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. All religions will now become annihilated, will be removed. Only one religion will remain, and that is the religion of Islam. People will complain, is this by sword? No, it is not by sword. It is not by sword. It is because, to give you an example, when the Imam will come, Nabi Isa alayhi salam will come. We have it in our riwayat, and I don't need to go into those details. Prophet Isa alayhi salam will also come, and when Prophet Isa alayhi salam will give allegiance to our Imam, what will happen to those who believe in Prophet Isa? Immediately they will also give allegiance to the Imam, and Christianity overnight will be wiped out. The religion is gone, disappeared. This is a promise by Allah, and this promise will only happen when the 12th holy Imam, may Allah hasten his reappearance, will reappear. So whilst we are waiting for Him, that we are in a period called Al-Intidar. وَخَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ Al-Intidar. What is this intidar? You know, even in language, this intidar has got such a deep meaning. We have to differentiate between intidar and doing nothing. Huh? In a hospital when I go, and my wife is about to deliver a baby, and I go eager now, waiting for a new delivery, for a new addition, entry into the family, the nurses will come and tell me, you wait here, sir. We'll come back and tell you what's happening. They will take me to a waiting room and say, wait here. Because I am now waiting eagerly for a new addition. But in the same token, if I go to the hospital, and I have a near one, a dear one, who is about to die because of some kind of sickness, the doctor comes, diagnoses, and doctor realizes that this person is dying, turns to the near ones who are standing next to the dying person, will not say, now wait for his death. The doctor will say, that this man, give him some time, let time pass, it is only a question. The doctor is smart. The doctor will never say, go outside and wait, I will call you when he dies. The doctor said that? No. Why not? Because waiting itself is a process that is always for something better, not for something worse. But when we wait for something, We await the arrival of somebody, or we are waiting to mount or board a train or an aircraft. Wherever we call a process or some time we spend as waiting, we will find that we are waiting for something better, something different, something good that I want to do. But never will we be waiting for something bad. And in that process of waiting, that whilst we are waiting, we are always doing something, preparing for that good event that is happening. If it is a child we are waiting for as a new addition into my family, then we would be preparing for the new addition. If it is departure that we are waiting for, we will be preparing for that departure. If it is arrival of somebody who is coming, always, whilst we are waiting, we have either prepared or are preparing for that event to take. Well, waiting for the Imam is no different. That whilst we are waiting for the Imam, we are supposed to be doing something to prove that we are truly waiting for the Imam. If we are not doing anything, if we have forgotten, if we are indifferent, then the simple answer is, the bottom line principle is, we are not waiting. If we are waiting, then we should be seen to be doing something to prove that we are truly waiting for the reappearance of the Imam. And what actions we are supposed to do, we shall look at inshallah tomorrow. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.